Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
No, don't adjust that dial. You're not listening to last week's podcast. That is the sound of Manchester United's away support serenading our very own Anthony Elanga once more, this time in Madrid. This is Talk of the Devils, the podcast dedicated to Anthony Elanga and also other Manchester United players from The Athletic. I'm Ian Irving, and joining us from Madrid in their hotel rooms, very fancy this, isn't it, is Andy Mitten and also is Laurie Whitwell as well. Lads, you were both there last night. What an absolutely fantastic end to a pretty ordinary game from Manchester United. Enjoy yourself, Laurie.
I had a great time. Had a nice beer with Andy afterwards to decompress, which is always a pleasure. He obviously speaking Spanish to local waitresses and ordering, making sure everything's right and sorting the bill out afterwards. It was, well, obviously people come for the football and stay for the drinks chat, and it was beers, you see. So nice little...
What beers were they then?
You answer this one, Andy, I don't know.
Well, you made one mistake already because you said that I bought the drinks. You actually paid for all of them, so thanks for that.
I'm just trying to give you some praise, pal.
I mean, things happen late in Madrid anyway. I think it's a nocturnal city. In the summer in Madrid, people go out at like 11:30 at night. The metro runs till 1:30, even in the weeknight. So United fans got that back from the stadium last night. The world's a happy place today. I've got a bit of a headache to show for it, but looking forward to talking about it on this podcast.
Absolutely. Rhythm of the Dancer, Anthony Elanga, still echoing around the Wanda Stadium, isn't it, after last night? We'll reflect on that result for Manchester United, which was definitely a better result than it was performance. We'll get into that aspect of it as well. We'll talk about the fan survey that's been on The Athletic over the last week or so, and also preview Watford as well. And it wasn't very good, was it, really, to be honest, until the last 10 minutes?
No, it was very bad, not very good. United were terrible in the first half, really bad, I think. Ralf Rangnick got the tactics completely wrong, the selection was wrong, and Atletico was straight on to Manchester United. Atletico were missing probably six of their regular starters.
That's crazy. That's been lost a little bit, hasn't it?
It's lost because people who don't watch them every week do not know that Yannick Carrasco and Lemar are the best two players, and they are, and they weren't playing, and everyone knows Antoine Griezmann because he's got a much higher profile. And they battered United. It was really uncomfortable viewing for most of the match. They should have won the game. They're fuming that they didn't win the game. They hit the woodwork. Brilliant goal from João Felix. Don't think it covered Harry Maguire in glory. Poor, poor, poor. And yet, the mood certainly on this pod and among the United fans who are watching it, everyone's on a bit of a high because of the equaliser, because 1-1 away to Madrid is a decent result. Not quite as decent as it would have been a year ago with the away goals rule, but it's a good result. But I hope Manchester United learned from that last night, because I just worried it will get a severe in the second leg where they come to Old Trafford. And United fans have got to play the part in this. Really got to be up for it. Atletico fans were fantastic for most of the game last night in a big stadium. And when Sevilla came to Old Trafford in 2018 after a goalless draw in Spain, Old Trafford was really poor. They're like, oh, we expected to win this and we're being played off the park by this Spanish team. We're better than this. United fans collectively were shocked. There can be none of that next week, in 3 weeks' time. You've got to really get behind the team, because Atletico have got world-class players. They're not having a good season and neither are United, but I had to do match ratings and we're talking fives and sixes and fours. It was really, really bad, apart from Elanga, who got 11.
Lieutenant Mitten there, putting out the rallying call for the second leg in 3 weeks' time. Looking forward to it already. What was the biggest issue, Laurie, for you, for Manchester United? Rio Ferdinand and Paul Scholes on BT Sport last night, I was watching it at home, unfortunately, not at the game like you two. They were sort of struggling to point the exact issue out for United, but they did say that the team didn't start the game. They didn't look ready to start the game, which the way the first sort of 10 minutes went, difficult to disagree with that, really.
Yeah, they're on the back foot from the word go. And I think the main thing was they never got to grips with Atletico's press. So it was sort of like the ball would go back to defence and Atletico would just sort of gradually, incrementally move forward. It wasn't like a kind of herring around Liverpool-style high press, but it was very coordinated and they knew exactly what they were doing. And basically it got United into positions where they were very uncomfortable with the ball at the back. And then you're left with Luke Shaw trying to sort of do a long 20, 25-yard pass into midfield and it failing and then pouncing on top of them. You've got Paul Pogba trying to receive the ball with his back to goal and Kondogbia all over him and winning it and then, you know, being on the back foot and a counter-attack. So it was various moments where United had the ball in possession because they had more possession than Atletico, but that was because Atletico let them and then they waited for the moments to pounce and it was never, possession was never done with any kind of direction. It was, let's see what we can kind of do in this moment, let's see what we can do in this moment. And they didn't have a touch in the opposition box in the first half. And you're thinking, you know, for all that possession, what is the point of it? And listen, we saw how United should have been in possession when Anthony Elanga scored. Because actually, on reflection, it was quite a well-constructed goal, wasn't it? Where you've got Maguire heading clear a long throw, Fred, Jadon Sancho involved, intricate kind of one-touch passing, Ronaldo feeding it back, and then Fred opens it up with that 1-2 to Bruno, and then it's actually a decent pass from Bruno, but he does give the defender a chance, doesn't he, to intercept it, and it's actually Alanga's really deft shuffle of feet, you know, over the ball, and then first time finish. It was a really, really good finish, you know, to put Oblak off balance. But and so you're sort of looking at that thinking, couldn't they have done that beforehand? Couldn't that movement, Alanga's movement was with such purpose and sort of intent and speed, you know, and it just felt like a lot of United's play was ponderous and kind of uncertain. And that's what Ralph Rangnick, you know, fairly criticised them for afterwards. I mean, he you know, wasn't mincing any words. He, you know, the first half was extremely disappointing from his perspective. And as Andy said, I think you can then ask questions of the selection, the Lindelof thing at right back. You know, it felt a bit Louis van Gaal when he was replacing the fullbacks, you know, as his first substitutions, and Matic on for Pogba as well, which is actually a pretty brave call. But in hindsight, all three worked.
Just quickly, did Lindelof, that decision, did that get explained post-match by Ralph Rangnick at all, Andy?
He said that he got it wrong. When the team came out before the match, I was...
Did he explain why he did it in the first place?
I wasn't in the press conference after because I was working doing other stuff. But before the game, I was pitch side and I watched him do all of his different interviews. And I had people saying to me, which formation are United going to be? So I was asking people from the club, what's going on here? And someone went into the dressing room and came out and said Ralph is deliberately not giving his formation away. All he said was that he understands that Atletico are going to start with a back five. So no one knew where Lindelof was going to play. And he can play right back, but he's not a right back. But Atletico was straight onto him. They exploited him right from the start. Manchester United cannot be that bad again. Really, the players collectively, you know, Ronaldo had no service. Kondogbia, as you said, looked much better than Paul Pogba. Marcus Rashford had minimal impact on the game. You could say that for several players. Sancho's been good in recent weeks, did very little. Bruno Fernandes was at his Bruno worst in terms of moaning. Ronaldo was asking for cards, and I'm thinking, this isn't Manchester United. Even Rafael Varane had a poor first half.
He looked rattled, didn't he?
He did, because he was. I mean, he got beaten and he gave the ball away. I think all of them were marginally better in the second half, and the substitution definitely worked. And Nemanja Matic won't be getting any headlines because he's not got a 90s song about him, but we will get one, Nemanja. We'll dip into the Serbian musical archives and pull one out from somewhere. But I thought he did a very good job balancing things up. And then the way that Manchester United had come from behind to get that equaliser, that just ignited the away end. The goal was scored in front of the away end. It was a big away following. This hasn't been the norm with COVID at all. You know, it was only this season that fans came back. There was only 600 in Bern, and it's been growing and growing. Everyone had a great time in Madrid, and that just erupted, and I'm still buzzing off that. That's all we were talking about last night, wasn't it? We weren't talking about anything else but people singing the song, and we were watching Manchester United fans going onto the subway singing it, and it's great. That's an element of the European away trips at the best.
Absolutely, on the fans. And I need to give a shout out to a lovely guy that I met on Tuesday night. Got to get my days right here. It's been a long week. Nilo, who saw, I was waiting in the square with a few of my colleagues from other reputable newspapers, and he came up to me and said, Laurie Whitwell. I was like, this is absolutely mad. And he listened to the podcast. He's a Belgian from Brussels who lives in Barcelona. So he was at the game as a United fan, and I followed him on Instagram, and he's posting various things from the stadium last night. So he looked like he enjoyed himself. But he said to me, I always ask you a question and you never respond to it. So here we go, Nilo. This is your shout out. So thanks for listening. It was really pleasant to see him. And I think just a quick one on the Lindelof thing. I think basically Ranić, I believe, realised that, you know, away goals don't count, you know, so a 0-0 would have been okay. So Lindelof offers a bit of defensive security. He played well at Leeds. He's played right back before. Okay, it didn't work, but I suppose that was the kind of logic where they didn't necessarily need to score, so let's keep it tight from the beginning. And obviously, as he said, the plans were in the dustbin after 7 minutes when Yao Felix gets in front of Harry Maguire and scores.
Okay, we've mentioned it a little bit, but let's do it properly. It's the 80th minute of Manchester United away at Atletico Madrid in the last 16 of the Champions League. It's the first leg. United have been rubbish for 80 minutes and he's been released. He's off the bench. He's a young lad. He's making his way. Anthony Elanga clean through, face to face with one of the best goalkeepers in the world in Jan Oblak. And he went and did this.
Fred with a nice ball into Bruno Fernandes. Elanga was on the run. Elanga might be in. Chance for Manchester United. Oh, he scored! What a moment for Anthony Elanga! Off the bench, he's the Champions League hero tonight for Manchester United. And the teenager comes up big time in the Champions League. Atletico Madrid 1, Manchester United 1. What a finish!
Laurie, what a moment. I mean, we've had some highlights this season, no doubt whatsoever, and Elanga has played his part in those, certainly. But what a moment for a young lad to take in that sort of environment.
Fantastic. And it was really pleasing, actually, to see it full-time. Particularly at Lindelof, you know, Swedes together, him and Elanga had a really long, sort of meaningful hug. Like, it was just a proper... Lindelof clearly feeling this is a real moment for you to enjoy, and I'm going to kind of share it with you and kind of make sure you appreciate it. And listen, people might say, why are you a United celebrating a 1-1 draw away to Atletico Madrid?
No, that's a great result, Laurie. Anyone questioning why they're celebrating a result like that don't understand knockout football in the Champions League. Considering the circumstances, that was a brilliant result for United.
Even regardless, if you think, well, okay, Atletico can go and win 2-0 Old Trafford, game over, I still think the moment for Anthony Elanga is, you know, to be celebrated. You know, a 19-year-old kid from United Academy, okay, he's not a Manc, but he basically is, really, isn't he? He's been here for so long, and he's got a chant that is organic. It was great, wasn't it? Looking over to the left, Andy, and seeing those fans up in the scan, and it's loud. I still laugh at the moment where they try and sing the high note. Looking at it was down at our end where he scored, so you kind of see in the moment, and you're going, "This is a huge moment for him personally, for the club in terms of the Champions League." He was so cool. Like, took it quicker than you thought he was gonna. You thought, okay, he's gonna take a touch, he's gonna like stare him down. No, it was. That's how you finish. It was really smart. And he said afterwards in the BT Sport interview, didn't he? You know, I told you I was cool and calm. But listen, it's one thing saying you are, and it's another thing actually doing it in front of 60,000 screaming Madrid fans who have been booing Ronaldo's every touch, who have been booing Rafael Varane when his name's read out, who have been doing... I don't know, did you hear it like this, Andy? I thought they were doing ironic see-yous. Every time he, like, you know, he hit a free kick over, he threw a strop at not getting an opposition player booked. I thought they were doing ironic see-yous. I don't know, am I wrong?
I didn't hear the see-yous, but I heard him getting booed all the time, with good reason, because he was such a talismanic figure for their main rivals, who beat them twice in Champions League finals, twice in 3 years. What I did hear, which I don't think people will have picked up on, it was a song in Spanish having a go at Bruno Fernandes because of his nationality. And Spaniards and Portuguese have got a rivalry because they're neighbours. So they were basically just singing, look at that whinging Portuguese. And you hear that quite a lot about Portuguese players. It was a great finish and it was a great result. The fact that the goal was in the 80th minute, that it was in front of a huge away end, was great. That song keeps burrowing into my head and it sort of leaves my head for like 3 or 4 days at a time. But because Anthony's doing well, it keeps coming back in. So I woke up this morning with a headache, with Rhythm as a Dancer going round my head, sort of hating myself for it, thinking, you're a grown adult and father of two. Why are you getting giddy over something like this? But one thing I really like is the reaction to it, because it's totally original. No other football fans are singing this. I saw the Stockport County fanzine last night saying, we should be doing stuff like this. You know, I know it's United, but we should be doing stuff. And it is only a matter of time before other fans start singing it and ripping it off. And it becomes another Will Griggs on Fire or that stupid one that everyone's singing. So-and-so gets battered everywhere they go. But looking at Atletico fans close to me, you can see them going like, why are they singing this? And even commentators asking for clarification. And I just love it because they've got no idea about the story of the song. And I spoke to a German journalist from Die Welt, probably pronounced that wrong, but it's a proper serious German newspaper, the day before in Villarreal. And he knows Ralph Rangnick. And I said, do you reckon Ralph has got any idea that Rhythm is a Dancer comes from his country? And he went, what? And he just lowered his glasses. He went, what? And I had to explain this to like a serious news journalist. And he said, well, I don't think German people know that Snap are from, they're from Germany. Yeah, they're from Frankfurt, mate. With the United fans, they sang it over and over again, which was brilliant. Got one little concern.
Oh, here we go.
There were two versions going at the same time. So, to coordinate a full end, 3,500 people is a lot of people. So it was peaking at different times, and this concerned me greatly. So suddenly I'm not even watching what's going on the pitch, because you're hearing, whoa, and then whoa, slow down, join together. I'm really pleased that they did all join together and it started to flow beautifully. Now, Manchester United fans sometimes sing songs too fast. I'm just slow down. They're not singing a langa too fast. They've got it right. And it's been a success story. This is living the moment. And for a young lad, and everyone who speaks about him speaks so well of his professionalism, and he'll have some ego because he's a top level footballer. But I find it quite funny that there's major players who don't have their own song. And he does. And yeah. Football's just like that.
Well, Andy, you danced up and down on a Zoom call one day in a yellow jumper and helped make that happen. You played your part as much as anyone in that. I actually met Anthony Elanga on Monday. I was at the training ground to do an interview and he was in the reception area, and I got introduced to him as one of the people from the podcast that helped get his song going. And I can tell you he's absolutely over the moon with the song. Obviously, that was Monday, which was the day after the match at Leeds. He was buzzing about pointing to the pitch and saying, this is our pitch at Elland Road. He was buzzing about shushing the Leeds fans. A very polite, very down-to-earth lad, riding the crest of a wave. I don't think there's anything better as a football fan, no matter who you support, to see young lads making their way in the teams that they've come through in the academy. And obviously, Anthony Elanga's done just that. And speaking to people around the club as well, we've touched upon it, but you know, you have to remember, it's a lad who arrived in Manchester at 13 years old, couldn't speak any English whatsoever when he arrived from Sweden. He's never really been a sort of star of his teams in the academy, shall we say. He's always been one of the better players in the team, but someone who's sort of been fighting for that acknowledgement, fighting for that recognition. And he's just sort of reached his peak of development as a youth player at the perfect time to make his mark in the first team. And he seemed to be absolutely loving it. And there's no doubt that we're absolutely loving it, Andy, as well.
He's a decent lad. You've interviewed him. I've interviewed him. And he's got a good backstory. And credit to Ralph Rangnick for seeing how good he is in the first training sessions. But not only doing that, because Ollie also spoke well of him. And there were some Ollie songs in Madrid as well, which he was buzzing off. And that's a nice thing that United fans are still singing for former legends. And with Anthony, everyone just speaks so well of him, like you do.
Let's listen to United manager Ralph Rangnick then, speaking about Elanga after the game last night. And there was one remark in particular that really did make its mark from Rangnick.
Antonio Langa, he's playing as if for him a dream comes true. This is just, it's just joy and fun to watch him play. I wish a few other players would take him as an example or like a almost role model, I would say. Not because he's doing everything right, but he's just enjoying himself on the pitch, and that's what it's all about. We know that football is an important sport, ball game, and even more so for our supporters or for the media, but it's still a ball game and you have to enjoy yourself on the pitch. And this is what I would wish us to do in the future, also when we play them again in a couple of weeks.
Laurie, more players need to be like Anthony.
Yeah, Ralph Rangnick is candid. That's his default setting, you know, being kind of quite frank and saying things how he sees them. But I think even for him, this was pretty pointed as a message, perhaps, or, you know, or just revealing his thoughts on, you know, the squad. And I suppose he's talking about joy and playing with a smile and kind of going at it with a positive attitude. So as we were talking about, you know, those moments where there was kind of arms flapped and kind of, you know, kind of disgruntled faces. I know that it's not always going to be sunshine and lollipops as a footballer, where you're on the pitch and, you know, everything's going to plan. And if it doesn't, no worries, pal, I'll slap me on the back. But I think he was basically getting at the point of, this is a kid who, as we've said, listen, he's unburdened by what's come before. He's just living the life right now. He's loving it. So there is that. But he's coming on the pitch and trying to do things and trying to run in, you know, an aggressive way, make himself open. If it doesn't work, no worries, I'll circle back and go again. So I think that's what he's getting at there, Ralph Rangnick. And it was, yeah, pretty pointed. And I wonder if, as the weeks go on, as we get towards, you know, the end of the season, where, you know, his interim manager tenure ends, whether he's going to be more open with stuff like this, because I think he is thinking, well, you know, I've got this consultancy, what shape is that going to form for 2 years afterwards? That's still kind of up in the air, really, in terms of what that will actually be. Why not voice what I'm seeing behind the scenes and kind of my opinions on what the team should look like and what players should be doing? So it was interesting.
Very pointed, Andy, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I don't not believe him. I think it was also very accurate, and I respect his opinion. He's been in football for a long time. It's quite interesting what the German journalist was telling me about Ralph Rangnick. He was often seen as a real nerd in Germany for a long time, and people tended to look down on him, that he wasn't as charismatic as Jurgen Klopp, for example. But as a journalist, I find him very refreshing in the way he speaks to the media. You get very clear answers, and I think there will be times when some of his players might be watching that, being a little bit stung by that. Well, good, because if they're not performing and doing as well as they shouldn't be, then they should be called out. He's quite analytical, he's a bit nerdy the way that he talks, but he speaks really well. And there's so many shifting plates of power at Manchester United at the moment, and we talked about the changes in a recent podcast. I think he's someone whose opinion should be valued and should be taken on board if he's not to become the permanent manager, and that's certainly the indications that the club are giving. But imagine if he wins the European Cup. I don't think that's going to happen, by the way, but you never know.
You never know. There's a couple of things that we need to tidy up before we move on. I mentioned before about Manchester United's record in the knockout stages of the Champions League. Well, they're going to have to do something that they've only done once since the last time they were in the final in 2011 to progress through to the quarterfinals in the second leg at Old Trafford on Tuesday the 15th of March, because they've only actually won one home game in the knockout stages of the Champions League since 2011. That was against Olympiacos way back in 2014, of course, overturning a really disappointing result from Greece in the first leg of that tie. But since then, United have had 13 knockout games in the Champions League, and they've only won two of them, and only one of them at Old Trafford. So the record has been really poor over the last decade or so.
And you know, you said 2011 then. Do you know that game was against in 2011? It was against Ralf Rangnick's Schalke 4 side. So that's a long time ago from the days when Manchester United reached 3 European Cup finals in 4 years. And I don't think that gets the credit it deserved either.
No, no, we could do a whole podcast on that, certainly. But since then, the record in knockout games not good, and that needs to improve in this second leg. Finally, Laurie, have you finished arguing with people on Twitter about Cristiano Ronaldo applauding the away end yet?
Thanks for that. Yeah, no, I got a bit of traction that, didn't it? So I tweeted, and this has become a thing, hasn't it? You know, what does Ronaldo do at full time? I'm not like one where I'm kind of voyeuristically observing him from, you know, as soon as the final whistle goes,
not
zooming in. But I was just looking at, you know, the way that players reacted, and clearly he'd had a very frustrating night for himself, where he's in this stadium where he's had, you know, what, in the city where he's had so much success against a team that he's had so much success against, and nothing went right for him, did it really? I mean, there was a few touches maybe, obviously he played a part in the goal, but in the main you could see he was getting frustrated, and he got fouled a couple of times, didn't he, and he was appealing for yellow cards. So I think that's kind of in his mind. He's not performed to his best abilities. He's not scored. But yeah, from what I saw, he, you know, acknowledged the away fans and then walked down the tunnel sharpish. Mike Phelan caught him on the way off the pitch to kind of give him a handshake and a kind of pat on the back. A kind of maybe, listen, it's the result that matters, as you said there, Ian. Like, you know, United are still in this. You know, they're still in the competition. It's clearly something that he wants to win. And then after all the players have kind of shook each other's hands, Harry Maguire kind of ushers the players over to the away fans, and all United players that have played a part are all there kind of clapping. So that's kind of the picture that I portrayed. Obviously, there's a picture of Ronaldo giving a clap to the away fans. I don't know exactly how long that went on for, but people are obviously coming back at me on Twitter and saying, you're a liar, you're twisting the truth. And so, okay, clarification, he obviously did clap the away fans momentarily. I don't know.
Momentarily.
If you got this stopwatch out, I'd be intrigued. But at the moment where the team was en masse, he wasn't there, you know, he was down the tunnel. So I think that point still is relevant. And listen, you can debate whether that's important or not. You know, people might say, who cares? You know, if he does the business on the pitch, who cares if he stays out afterwards? So that's fine. I'm not sort of passing judgment on that. But in that moment, that's what I saw. Andy, you want to say something?
Well, I care. I think that players should applaud away fans at every match, and I wrote the story in Newcastle when Ronaldo was one of the players who walked off. I think it's important. Do you know when it first became an issue? It was against a team called Atletico Madrid in 1991, and the Manchester United team, the entire team, walked off the pitch without thanking the 2,000 away fans. And 4 days later, or for the next home game, because there was no instant communication like now, the players collectively issued an apology, saying that they were upset because they conceded goals and lost the match. With Ronaldo, after the game in Madrid, I saw him go behind the away and stand on a box, confiscate the microphone off the leader of Atletico Madrid's ultras, get the Alanga song going, clapping all the time in unison. And I'm surprised you missed that, Laurie.
I've got an agenda, that's why.
I wasn't watching it at the end for whatever reason, but I think that the point, and I feel pretty strongly about it, and it's not the most important thing in the world, the performances are, but players should thank away fans. And if you don't do that, it's not a good look.
So how exactly are you going to describe this scenario, Laurie, in your piece that you're writing on Ronaldo that probably is on The Athletic and dropping right about the time people are listening to this podcast?
We've got a piece, hopefully it's out by the time this podcast is aired, just on Ronaldo and his talks behind the scenes, I suppose is a fair way to describe it, of wanting support up top, so, you know, as a two, which is something, to be fair, Ralf Rangnick had originally in his 4-2-2-2 system. You know, there was a strike partner there for him to bounce off, realising that Ronaldo up front on his own, the pressing style wasn't going to work. And even then, you know, does he need someone to bounce off? Because against Atletico, there was moments where he felt isolated, and he was coming deep. I mean, there's one point in the first half, I think, where he came to right back slot just to touch the ball because he hadn't touched the ball for such a long time. It's a weird one. I can't quite figure out whether it's Ronaldo not showing for the ball enough, because sometimes he has dropped too deep and you know, got involved in build up that then you're thinking, well, we need someone in the box to kind of finish this off, or whether it's the players not producing good enough passes. I mean, listen, Bruno Fernandes gave the ball away 23 times last night. He was, you know, short, long, he was getting it wrong in all sorts of ways before finally providing a sixth assist in a row in the Champions League, you know, a record. It's crazy that you can kind of feast or famine with Bruno. But so I can understand Ronaldo's frustrations there. But so he's talking behind the scenes about having two up top. I think Ralph Rangnick's got reservations because that might then alter Jadon Sancho's role in the team, because he's been on a good run of form on that right wing. On the left wing, he was sort of switching last night with Marcus Rashford. And so it's an interesting dynamic, really, as to how much players are involved with, you know, the kind of systems that are put out on the pitch. And clearly Ronaldo's, you know, a strong-minded individual. He's got his own thoughts on how he would like United to be set up, and he's scored so many goals in his career that he's saying, this is how I think I can score more. Ralph Rangnick obviously has got to balance the whole team. That's his role as manager. So it'll be an interesting one to sort of observe going forwards.
Yeah, you can read that piece on The Athletic right now. Also, Laurie's take on Manchester United's draw in Atletico last night and Anthony Elanga's dream come true.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX, stream on Hulu.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Right, let's get to some of your questions, because there's been a fantastic response once again from you guys listening. Let's go to the first question there. This is Guillermo, who says, has Rashford's form... Actually, I don't think I've pronounced that correctly, Andy. How do you pronounce that name?
Guillaume.
Okay, Guillaume, I'm sorry. Here's your question. Has Rashford's form proven why Elanga should deserve to start over him right now, Andy? I mean, Watford, Elanga could start, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could. He's a form player. Marcus is not playing well. He had another poor game in Madrid. I think that part of Ralph wants to play Elanga because he listens to instruction. That was said to me after the Villa game when he did well. And not every player listens to his instructions and acts upon them as specifically as Anthony. And another part wants to spare him a little bit because he's still in the infancy of his first team career and he doesn't want to be playing him all the time. Play him against Watford. Watford beat United 4-1. Need to absolutely smash Watford. Never mind pussyfooting around this. Put Elanga on.
United have got the best win percentage against Watford as any team in the Premier League. So that Watford, United have an 80% win ratio against them. They've only got a better one against Brentford, but they've only played them once and beat them. Record at Old Trafford is played 7, won 7, drawn none, lost none, scored 17, conceded 2. The only goal that Watford scored at Old Trafford this millennium was a 90th minute consolation a few years ago. So they should be winning this game. Right, next question. Sam is asking... Laurie, tell us, has he played Shaw now, hasn't he? He whips in useful crosses and gets forward well. What do you reckon?
It's an interesting dynamic that he did at the start, didn't he? With fullbacks and, you know, it's the kind of narrow system and he needed to get forward, and Luke Shaw perhaps was in a moment of poor form. I do think it'd be horses for courses, really, because you've got Shaw who can carry the ball from left back, you know, better than a lot of players in any position. And sometimes his link up is really nice on that left hand side. I think Sancho was starting to develop a bit of a relationship with him. But Alex Telles, when he came on last night, he actually really gave United a lift, didn't he? Because he was putting in balls from difficult situations on the left flank that actually, you know, Ronaldo, you're thinking, could you got in different positions? There was a couple where he sort of went into decent areas. So I think it'll be a very much a case of he can sort of rotate those guys on a fairly even basis if he wants to. Probably, I would say Shaw is still the number one with Telles as a very, very able backup. But, you know, more than happy if Telles starts against Watford.
Yeah, Telles, another player who's pushing for a start in that game, certainly. And the bench will be of interest again, Andy, because for the second game in a row, Ralf Rangnick made some unusual subs that had you scratching your head, but then nodding your head at the final whistle because they worked. Johnny asking, would any other manager make proper, impactful, game-changing subs and not get the credit for it?
I think he does get the credit for it. We've given him credit.
We're giving him
in this podcast, and we praise and criticise as we see it, and that's our job as journalists to do that, using the sources we've got as well. But I don't think there's any big agenda against Ralf Rangnick. He gets praised when he does things well. I've spoken well of him in this podcast about how he deals with the media, for example, and he's been praised for the substitutions he made. The timing of the substitutions, a criticism of his predecessor, was he waited far too long to make some substitutions. And that was with good reason as well. And the worst example of that was in the Europa League final, when I don't think there was a change for 100 minutes. Ralf Rangnick made that change, 66 minutes, triple substitution, pretty brave to change both fullbacks, but he did it and he made the right decision, and that's what he's paid to do. So big, big bank of credit for you, Ralf Rangnick.
Johnny, I hope you're happy now. Just one last one on Watford, Laurie. How important is this game now for Manchester United, considering the fixtures that are ahead in March? This looks the last gimme. I'm tempting fate here, aren't we? But this looks the last favourable fixture, shall we say, coming up. And United need to win this, don't they, to keep hold of that fourth place heading into these games?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Watford lost 4-1 at home to Crystal Palace on the night that United were in Madrid, so clearly they are brittle. They can be got at.
Do you know, Laurie, though, they're nowhere near as brittle as they were. I mean, they kept 3 clean sheets out of 4 heading into the game at Palace last night. And XG fans will be loving this or hating this, depending on the viewpoint. But they scored 4 goals, Crystal Palace, from an XG of 0.74. So Watford are still not giving away much, to be honest.
Fine. Well, there you go. Okay, I've not seen the highlights, but I will take that. That's a good start. You're producing the goods here today, Ian. And they are dangerous. You know, you look at, you know, we all talk about Dennis, and he's been had a great season, really, hasn't he? You can see that he could cause problems, but you know, United have to win. I mean, Tottenham losing at Burnley, Antonio Conte looks fraught. You know, 4 defeats in 5 for them. Arsenal are probably the team in form as that kind of challenger for a top 4 spot, but United have to win this game. And as you say, the fixtures get a lot crueler as time goes on. So, you know, 3 points on Saturday is an absolute must.
Andy, quick one on Watford.
Have to win it, but United have been pretty poor against the teams down at the bottom, most recently in that draw at Burnley. Watford's dressing room was very divided at the point where they brought the new manager in, Roy Hodgson, under Claudio Ranieri. I got some insight into what was going on there, and Ranieri was seen as a bit of a dinosaur. And this is a horrible cliche, but I really think it was true at Watford. He'd lost the dressing room. There was that awful stat where if you looked at the games Watford had played, there was a red for lost, and it was like L-L-L-L-L-L. Manchester United green 4-1, L-L-L-L-L. How did that happen? I'm still sore about that game at Vicarage Road.
Yeah, Andy wants his revenge this weekend. Just enough time to point you in the direction of the fan survey on The Athletic at the minute. A very interesting take from you guys, your verdict really on everything Manchester United, the big issues at the club at the minute. Carl Anker's written that up. Take a look. The headline reads, Manchester United survey, 55% don't want Ronaldo next season, 40% say Fernandes should be captain, and 58% call for Ten Hag to be the next permanent manager of Manchester United. If that doesn't tease you to go and read it, I don't know what will. And if it doesn't tease you to get a subscription if you've not got one. I don't know what will either. And remember, there is an offer on at the minute. It's just £1 a month for the first 6 months. For a new subscription, go to theathletic.com/ManUnitedPod for all the details on that. But for the minute, Laurie and Andy, safe journey home to both of you. Manchester United have a decent result, don't they, to take back to Manchester for the second leg. And we're all off to go and watch the final whistle being blown in the Wanda and see exactly what Cristiano Ronaldo did. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Clap your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Because I'm KRS and I'm on the mic and premieres on the breaks.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.